Good afternoon and welcome to the Polymath Project. This is Armand. Today is April 12th, 2018, early in the second quarter. It's a great time of year. It's spring. It doesn't feel like spring quite yet here in New York, New Jersey. It's been a cold and long winter. Personally and professionally, I've been spending about half of my time living out of a suitcase on an international roadshow for one of our exciting new startup projects called KidCoin, which I'll be talking about a little bit more today. We've covered it quite a bit in recent episodes of the show. The Polymath concept, as you know, is all about exploring innovation, disruption, and kind of taking a holistic view of the world, of where we stand as humanity, what opportunities we have to reflect on the way we operate as a society, as a spaceship, the spaceship Earth, as my friend and mentor David Hoole speaks about. We're all crew on the spaceship Earth and have a piece of responsibility for the 7 billion plus human beings on the planet, not to mention all the other life forms. And so that's what we do on this show, and in general, the organizations that I'm involved in, what I try to stress and bring that type of global and holistic awareness to whatever our product or service are offering, what our ethos is. And so having and being involved in mission-driven companies and organizations is something very meaningful for me. It's been part of my life purpose and journey, and there's a lot of excitement in the ideas and the kind of values and virtues that we pursue. And there's tons of frustrations, obviously, along the path, along the road towards trying to achieve things and then running into all the real world obstacles and forces that have been in place as long as the Earth and the planets and humanity has been here. There's been forces and obstacles that are there to essentially prevent us from achieving those goals. But at the same time, those same forces give us strength, and that's the weight that we need to push through in order to build that muscle and create the level of energy that it takes to achieve things. So that's my day-to-day focus. It's on the energy, the vision, and trying to just move one step closer towards some of these values and visions of a better world, as they say. So the blockchain space is one we've talked about a lot, cryptocurrencies, and one that is, I believe, shaking up the planet in a way that is positive and that is a step in the right direction, evolution-wise, in terms of what it represents, decentralization of power. There's a lot of power centers that certainly could use a little shakeup, and it's happening now, whether it's the global monetary system or just corrupt governments all over the planet, big multinational companies that leverage their power, their material power, and their centralized controls to their own personal bottom lines instead of for the good of humanity. So blockchain, in a lot of ways, is disrupting that and giving companies and entrepreneurs and humanity the chance to kind of fight back, so to speak, or to create systems that are more fair and just. And that's why I support them, and that's why we're launching our own project, several projects, but the main focus for us right now is KidCoin. So I will get into that. Why don't we actually do that? I'm going to jump into a presentation that I've been giving across different conferences, blockchain conferences. Next week, I'll be at the World Blockchain Forum with members of our team in Dubai. So I'm going to go ahead and queue up a PowerPoint that we have here and take you through a couple of slides. I like that it's actually a five-slide limit at this show for about a 10-minute pitch, essentially, for our ICO. So I want to just kind of share that here. Some of you may have heard it before, but KidCoin is our vision for essentially improving the state of financial intelligence, financial literacy, starting at a very young age. So our focus is working with kids. I believe that there's so much opportunity to establish and create good habits, good value systems from a very young age. And of course, kids can't do it alone. As they say, it takes a village. And kids are always part of an ecosystem with parents, with teachers, with their communities. And they need support from all elements of society. So the systems and the tools and the apps that we're building are geared towards kids, but we depend on other ecosystem users that I'll share here. But our ethos, our goal is to help build confidence in these kids, help build a sense of financial values, a sense of a better sense of just math, because finance is about numbers and math and kind of the effect that the things we want to get, to achieve, to have impact the decisions we make about what we decide to do. How do we go about creating a strategy to get what we want at a young age? You know, how does a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old get what they want? They're not necessarily going to go out there and work and earn money to buy what they want, but they have to think about how they're going to negotiate with their friends and convince their parents to buy them the things they want. And from that very young age, they're starting to develop psychological and emotional value systems. You know, they obviously watch their parents and see how they make decisions around money, and they learn from that as well. So within KidCoin, we're building, you know, a hybrid digital wallet. We do believe, and I believe strongly, that cryptocurrencies are the future of the way we're going to store value and exchange value in a very decentralized manner, in a very peer-to-peer method. And kids are going to be very fluent with it using this little device right here, right? An Android or an iPhone or whatever other brand comes about. Probably some kind of blockchain brand will come about and disrupt this Apple slash Android monopoly. And kids will be very fluent about sending money in that way. And we aim to be, and are really right now, the first kid-focused cryptocurrency. The cryptocurrency and the platform isn't ready yet. We're building it, and we're likely about 5 to 6 months away from launching our first beta. But it really revolves around this hybrid digital wallet that the kids and the parents would have access to be able to give things like allowances and have some oversight and approval over where the kids spend. And again, we're looking to build financial literacy, empowerment, and help the kids build their value systems through having access to these tools. Now, again, other members of the ecosystem include teachers. We're building classroom apps and games that allow teachers to help disseminate financial education in kind of a fun, gamified fashion. And as we know, teachers nowadays around the country here, at least in the U.S., are going on strike. They're certainly not compensated well enough for what they do. They're helping raise the next generation of young citizens, young people, and yet they're constantly devalued. And so, you know, we'll be offering them additional earning opportunities for bringing this new kind of life skill into the classroom in a fun way. Then brands and other sponsors or just people that want to do good, humanitarians that want to sponsor and support children in their communities for doing good deeds, getting good grades, staying in school, being generous and putting volunteer time into their local communities, whatever good deed and virtue one may look to support that they believe will be helpful to these young people, we could support that through what we call these micro scholarship programs that brands and sponsors can endorse, thereby giving motivation and incentive to these kids to come in and earn those micros within our platform. And then there's also a whole marketplace that's vetted and curated and safe, where parents could also monitor and make sure their kids are spending in ways that they're comfortable with. So the ecosystem you could kind of see here and all the different modules and functionalities you know, being listed is basically the core of our mostly mobile but also web-based platform that we're working on. We have an amazing team. I like to bring up this process that I've been involved in for over 20 years of building startup teams. It's really one of the most fascinating and challenging parts of my experience as a business owner, as an entrepreneur. I want polymaths. I want people that have that kind of global view and vision. People like David Houle, who you see right here in the center of our team here, our chief brand officer, also one of my mentors, just a leader, someone who's been at the top as an executive, helped to launch MTV back in the 80s and helped build some of the biggest global brands that all of us hear about and know about nowadays. And visionaries like that, visionaries like Carmine Vona, who's one of the founders of Swift technology that's used, you know, globally now to move money around, are helping us architect our system. And they understand, they have this global view and understanding of what it takes to build a great team and a great business. You know, we've got three PhDs in our team, from our motivation scientists to, you know, computer and artificial intelligence experts to people that have built some of the very innovative blockchain companies that are already active and successful in the space. So I feel like, not just on paper, but kind of energetically and chemistry-wise, we've put together a nice group, a very balanced and diverse group across disciplines and other factors of diversity. And I'm excited. And obviously, like any team, it's going to continue to evolve. There's certain gaps and areas, like we're actually looking for a CTO right now. We have a great technical team, and some of them are outsourced vendors, some of them are advisors, but we're still looking for that full-time in-house CTO, and we're actively meeting people every week to hopefully fill that position. But again, it's way beyond what's in the resume, and it comes down to a real energetic and chemistry-wise fit with the vision, someone that really believes in what we're doing and can really bring some real insight and creativity to the process, not just someone to come here and write some code, but someone that can really bring some vision to the product and the technology that we're building. But team building is one of my favorite parts of this whole journey, and again, one of the most challenging parts, because you have strong-minded people, you have different opinions, and I see part of my role, it's to really negotiate with that and help to steward, you know, the energy and help to motivate and get the best out of everybody and make sure everyone feels, you know, included and valued in the decisions that the company's making. Whereas at the same time, as the leader, you know, I also have to kind of put my foot down at times and say, okay, guys, you know, we've got all the input, but here's what we're going to do. And I actually have to make that call, and it may not be popular with everybody. And that's actually part of the challenge of being a leader. It's making tough decisions and basically being the most responsible person for the consequences of what happens. And it's not easy. It's not easy. You want to please and satisfy everyone and take everyone's views into account, which I feel like I do my best to do that. But at the end of the day, you know, every decision that I make or any leader makes isn't always a popular one. But it's incumbent upon us to step up and do that, and try to do it with humility, without ego or personal, you know, pride and investment, but really for the greater good of the vision and of the company. So I think we have a great team that, you know, supports me and that really partners up in how we're executing this vision. And the last slide here I would show would be our token sale, which is starting next week in the first of four phases. So if you know about ICOs, you know that, you know, usually there's several phases with a main ICO, but then before that, there's these phases where people can get in for discounted pricing of your tokens. So our first private sale, which starts next week, is at 5 cents per Kitcoin token, and then it goes to 10 cents in the presale round one, 15 cents in presale round two, and then finally lands at 20 cents for our ICO or token generation event. Really means the same thing, which will be in November. So that gives us about 6 months from now to build up towards our first MVP, minimum viable product, or beta, to be able to showcase in the market, or at least with, you know, our advanced group of supporters and testers, right around that time that we're going to have the ICO. So a lot of work to do. It's all happening fast. You know, I gave a presentation last week that you may or may not have seen called The Seven Pillars of ICO Marketing. First shot at that, and I'm sure just like the seven pillars of digital, which evolved over the last 15 years, the seven pillars of ICO marketing, or at least my presentation of it, will also evolve and change and nuance over time because the field is changing so rapidly. So I'm going to pull some slides from that as well, but I do want to say when people ask, like, well, why do you have to raise so much money, $20, $25 million? Why can't you do like the traditional startup companies have done over years, raise little bits of a time and just kind of prove out the different parts of your business before you scale up and raise bigger amounts? Well, that's the way it's been done for a long time, but I do believe there's actually a wisdom to this new method of raising a larger amount of money up front. You obviously have to know what you're going to do with it, but since most of these ICOs and crypto blockchain companies are actually following through at some point after their ICO to be listed on exchanges and have to deal with all types of securities laws and money transmitter laws and all these various legal, regulatory, operational challenges, global and multinational companies as startups, which is wasn't the case before, but that's what's necessary now to have a global market and to support, you know, a cryptocurrency or blockchain technology. All of that is very expensive. All of that costs a minimum of $1 million, if not, some people say up to $4-5 million, literally just to get that base foundation in place, not to mention the ongoing compliance and the ongoing kind of maintenance, which has to cost it at least another $500,000 to $1 million a year. So you could now see why and understand why to do this right and to do it well. I didn't even mention the cost of building your technology or marketing, right? Just operational base cost of $3 to $5 million plus ongoing maintenance. Now we could understand why companies need $5 to $10 million plus. We're going for $25 million and wish us luck. I believe we'll be able to achieve it, but we'll see how we do in terms of marketing and communicating, community building, and all those other things I listed in the Seven Pillars webinar. So speaking of that, thanks for hearing me out on the KidCoin kind of pitch. It's always good for me to do it in different formats to just kind of continue to see how that flows. But I want to take you to a couple of highlights from that Seven Pillars workshop. So I'm going to quickly switch over to another deck here just to share two slides because I started getting some feedback on this and questions, and I know that it's piqued a lot of interest. So I'm going to just share two slides from this presentation. One is just an overview of ICOs or initial coin offerings in 2017. They exploded. I mean, January 2017 was really nothing small, $2-3 million worth of ICO funding. Whereas by the end of the year, literally like a hockey stick, you know, December 2017 was like over $1 billion just in that month. And early Q1 2018 has continued in that track. So even with all the regulatory pressure and legal issues and subpoenas from the SEC, you know, that have started to kind of create some nervous energy in the space, there's still way, way more bullishness and excitement and activity. So this is a force that's not going to be stopped. $5.6 billion raised in 2017. As you could see, 435 quote-unquote successful projects, which means successful at raising their minimum or reaching even their hard caps. So they were successful in raising money. Now, what percentage of those have been successful in implementing and deploying that money to actually build what they envisioned and listed in their roadmaps? That's a different story. There's early statistics showing that at least half of those companies are, again, quote unquote, failing in their first year or two. Now, again, those terms I think are used a little bit loosely. We have to be careful kind of being very black and white about what success and failure is. There's a lot of gradients in between, and I think we need to give companies and entrepreneurs and the whole space a little more time before we start imposing kind of definitive judgments on who's failed and who's succeeded. These things take time, you know, and even if you look at big companies over the years in technology like AOL and Yahoo that have been big, huge successes that were the center of the whole universe at some point, What happened 5, 10 years later? MySpace, the biggest and best, then where did it go, right? So let's give things time and realize that things evolve. Speaking of which, I want to bring up the next slide, which I know has raised some a little bit of so-called controversy, because I'm calling these high-tech, multi-trillion-dollar companies like Facebook and Apple and Google, the companies we know and love and that we use their products, that hire the smartest people in the world, and I'm here calling them old school, whereas Telegram and Medium and these newer forms, these newer companies that are embracing the blockchain and cryptocurrency and kind of what I believe are much, much more forward-thinking. And this is just the nature of life and humanity. These other companies on the left, the old school ones, used to be creative, used to be innovative, still have a lot of smart people working for them, do kind of run the world or the world of business and technology right now, today. But you know, when you're a visionary or the polymaths of the world, the futurists, people like David Hoole that I can relate to, start looking towards the future, they could see the future already, and they could see kind of where things are going. And you could see when governments are old school, when they're kind of holding on to the past, when they're kind of stuck on an old infrastructure, an old framework that worked for them, that still serves them, but doesn't really serve the energy, the masses, and kind of the evolution of life. And that's what I'm seeing right now. I mean, Google and Facebook, supposedly innovative companies, very successful in their own right, financially, very strong right now, today, rejecting and limiting, you know, ICOs, supposedly to protect consumers against scams, which do exist. Certainly some scams do, but the fact that they're taking an all-out blanket approach is just, it's very backward thinking. And very fear-driven, and that kind of thinking and that kind of attitude, either on a government level or a business level, is what, basically, it's the beginning of your death. So I'm not saying these companies are going to die or go away. Hopefully, they'll start rethinking their positions and start thinking a little bit more creatively and innovate and with a bit of an understanding of where things are going and coming in sync with that instead of trying to take a censorship approach, which is old school, and it's fear-based. And of course, they're scared because blockchain is looking to disrupt their stranglehold on people's personal data and information. And it's a threat. So understandable, human, visceral reaction, but not very fluid or kind of evolved thinking, which is why there's going to be disruption. So I think that would be a nice thing to contemplate and think about in our own journeys, where even in our own personal lives, do we get stuck and hold on to old ideas and old patterns that don't necessarily serve the kind of growth and where the energy wants to flow, but yet we just can't necessarily let go, or we're letting fear kind of drive us or limit us. I'm going to end this part there and just quickly share one more thing. I wanted to switch over and talk about our 2020 Life Vision project. Two main things we've worked on. One is a book, a workbook, which was just published on Amazon just last week. There's a Kindle edition as well as paperback. And we're working on an app, a corresponding app that is going to be released hopefully within the next 2 weeks. There's a lot of ways to kind of take a look at our life and reflect and try to seek what our purpose is and then pursue it. I shared in this book a 30-step program, which it combines different elements of what's helped me in my life and spiritual journey and entrepreneurial journey over the last 25 years. And feel like the book has a lot of balance between kind of our personal and our professional, basically a mind, body, spirit kind of triangle, so to speak, which is what you can see in our logo there, of kind of that pyramid or triangle concept there. The book is very accessible. There's exercises, so you read a little, then you could answer questions. It's actually split into two halves. There's a kind of what we call a guidebook in front, which is the 30 lessons written, very short, 1 to 2 pages each. And then in the back, there's the workbook, which for each step in the guidebook, there's one corresponding step in the workbook where you can actually answer and address and start building and documenting your own life vision. So it's a very practical guide. I suggest that if you take a look at it, you take your time. You don't have to do it in 30 days. It's not necessarily like that, but if you want to, great. If you have that kind of discipline and want to kind of do it in a systematic fashion, you can do it in 30 straight days. You can also do it over 60 days or 90 days. I recommend that if you're going to commit to it, definitely don't let it linger too long. Try to complete the whole program, or at least the parts of it that you feel are important to you, within a reasonable amount of time. I would say 90 to maybe 120 days at the most. That's my suggestion. Good luck. I hope you check it out. And in a few weeks when the app is ready, we will share that as well. So yeah, it was great sharing today. Good luck, you know, here in the spring, in this quarter, with your endeavors. You know, I've left a couple of challenges or, you know, projects for the community recently. So I'll just reiterate those, you know, with blockchain, getting your own personal accounts and investments, even if it's $50 or $100, just getting started with that. So you can understand how these markets flow. They've been going down largely in the last 3 months, but that's okay. I believe, and I'm very bullish that they'll climb within the year here, 2018. So definitely make sure you get that done is my suggestion. And then the second piece was to try to find a real world use case to pay with something in Bitcoin or Ethereum, or find a way to accept payment from somebody, maybe for a service or product that you offer in a cryptocurrency. This is the future, and that future is coming upon us very quickly. And more merchants and e-commerce companies like Shopify, like PrestaShop, globally are starting to connect to these cryptocurrencies and accept them and have them flow a bit more. Bitcoin is really the world's first, you know, global currency. If you look at a map, which I saw at a conference recently, of Bitcoin ownership around the world, you will see that it's everywhere. It's everywhere, and you could see the density of where it's spread and which countries and areas hold the most of it. You don't see that with anything else. People don't hold the dollar in Europe, right? Everywhere you go, you convert to the local currency. So the fact that we really have, for the first time, a global currency that people don't need to swap out. They can for other cryptocurrencies or other fiat currencies, but you know, this really opens up some powerful opportunities, and I think that's going to kind of transcend into the day-to-day world of commerce. So go ahead and get started, give it a shot, and so I'll just really reiterate those as the general just projects I'd like to see people engage and give us some feedback, and we'll see you. I'll be in Dubai next week, maybe give you a brief report from out there. Otherwise, we'll see you probably the last week of April, when we do our quarterly report for all the businesses, as well as some other updates along the life journey. So until then, have a good time, and we'll see you soon. Take care.